The Senate tries again on FAA reauthorization. North Carolina lures a new MRO facility. And John Pistol flip-flops on private screeners. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Groundhog Day, Wednesday, February 2, 2010. Senator John D. Rockefeller IV, the West Virginia Democrat, who chairs the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, has announced the FAA Air Transportation Modernization and Safety Improvement Act. It's the same bill that passed the Senate last year by a vote of 93-0, but which couldn't be reconciled with the House, forcing a seventh temporary extension of the FAA's reauthorization. The Democrats correctly assert that a permanent reauthorization is needed to keep NextGen on track and to provide a stable framework for an important economic engine. In fact, they're spinning this as the first jobs bill of the new session, although the claim that reauthorization will support 90,000 jobs is a little vague. But the very fact that it's important legislation already has it being held hostage by unrelated amendments. As of our deadline, the GOP caucus was attaching an amendment to repeal Obamacare, so the FAA could have to wait a while longer. A less vague proposal in North Carolina would add 308 jobs in an aircraft maintenance facility in Forsyth County. Governor Bev Perdue has announced a deal to bring NS Aviation to Winston-Salem, made possible in part by a $300,000 grant from the One North Carolina Fund. Among the company's obligations is the investment of $1.27 million over 4 years. The governor commented, quote, "Not only are our workforce, infrastructure, and strong business climate helping us attract new investments, but we are helping hundreds of North Carolina families get back on their feet," unquote. NS Aviation is a startup provider of aircraft maintenance and repair services. The company plans to open a maintenance facility at Smith Reynolds Airport. Many former employees of the defunct Pace Airlines, which used to do maintenance at that airport, are expected to be among the hires. Salaries will vary by job function, but the average annual wage for the new jobs will be about $42,000, very close to the current average wage in Forsyth County. In what looks for all the world like either face-saving or playing his expected role within a union-friendly administration, TSA Administrator John Pistol now says he will not allow any additional airports to opt out of using federal TSA screeners in favor of private contractors to staff their checkpoints. Independent analysis has found no sacrifice in security when using private screeners, but better public acceptance. Just a month ago, Pistol had said he was neutral on the issue. Now, in a memo to his workforce cited by CNN, he sounds like he's preserving a fiefdom or a potential new unit of the American Federation of Government Employees. Quote, "To preserve TSA as an effective federal counterterrorism security network, the screening partnership program will not be expanded beyond the current 16 airports, unless a clear and substantial advantage to do so emerges in the future," unquote. In the U.S. House of Representatives, Florida Republican John Mica, who's tried to distance himself politically from the agency he helped author into existence, is outraged and tells CNN he'll call for an investigation of Pistol's policy change. Quote, "It's unimaginable that TSA would suspend the most successfully performing passenger screening program we've had over the last decade. The agency should concentrate on cutting some of the more than 3,700 administrative personnel in Washington who concocted this decision, and reduce the army of TSA employees that has ballooned to more than 62,000, unquote. AFGE, of course, is thrilled. Union President John Gage commented, quote, "The nation is secure in the sense that safety of our skies will not be left in the hands of the lowest bidder contractor, as it was before 9/11. We applaud Administrator Pistol for recognizing the value in a cohesive, federalized screening system and workforce," unquote. Up next on ANN, SpaceX has released video of the first flight of the 1X. The Smithsonian may be pushing too far too soon. And BRS can claim another save, but the plane is total. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. the breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 2nd. I'm Paul Plagg. SpaceX has posted video on YouTube of the first flight of the 1X, which, as the cute name suggests, is a single-seat variant on the two-seat SpaceX kit plane. The 1X has some unique features, including folding wings, which allow it to be parked or trailered in 8 feet of width. Performance with the 80-horsepower AeroV power plant is, as might be expected, even better than the SpaceX. Aero TV did a feature at Oshkosh last summer with Jeremy Monette, who was at the controls for the first flight on January 27th. At the time, he summed up the 1X as an 85% scale SpaceX. He also demonstrated the simplicity of the Corsair-inspired folding wing mechanism. Find a link to that Aero TV interview and an FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated February 1st, at aero-news.net. Find the first flight video on YouTube by searching 1X First Flight, that's O-N-E-X. And in today's Aero News special feature, hear my audio interview with Jeremy, including details on the 1X and the subsonic single-place jet prototype, also from Oshkosh. Fresh off the 25th anniversary of the in-flight breakup of NASA's Space Shuttle Challenger comes an idea that may be too soon for the families of the astronauts lost in the disaster. Officials at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum say they're considering a display of artifacts recovered following the Columbia and Challenger disasters, but only if the families give consent for the exhibit. Challenger was lost on January 28, 1986. Just 73 seconds into its mission, a booster failure caused an explosion that resulted in the loss of 7 astronauts, as well as the vehicle. Columbia, which was the oldest orbiter in the fleet, was lost on re-entry over East Texas on its landing descent at Kennedy Space Center February 1st of 2003, at the conclusion of a microgravity research mission. A piece of insulating foam from the orbiter's external fuel tank broke off during launch, creating a small hole in one of the spacecraft's wings that allowed hot plasma to enter the spacecraft, causing it to break apart on re-entry. A museum official told Collect Space that NASA still has to be convinced to allow the exhibit to go forward, and so far the reaction there is said to be mixed. But the Smithsonian feels that enough time has passed that the families may be willing to consider allowing the public display of the artifacts, which to them represent very personal tragedies. The pilot of a Cirrus SR-22 was reportedly unhurt Sunday following the deployment of his airframe parachute during an emergency. KMGH-TV reports that the plane departed Centennial Airport in Englewood, Colorado, and deployed the parachute following an unspecified problem. The plane reportedly landed on its wheels in a dry creek bed near Kiowa, and the unidentified pilot called 911. Emergency crews located him following GPS references early Sunday morning. He refused medical treatment and was taken home by an Elbert County Sheriff's deputy. The pilot told emergency officials that he considered the airplane a total loss. Still ahead, a California lawsuit raises eyebrows. China looks at allowing helicopter sightseeing flights. And in the space race, how much can you really believe? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, February 2nd. I'm Paul Plagg. A lawsuit launched in 2009 against 15 defendants by JCM Farming Incorporated still lingers in the courts, claiming that aviation activities over the plaintiff's ranch near Santa Rosa, California, are a nuisance and in violation of the county's noise ordinance. The suit, in Riverside Superior Court, targeted agricultural flights, hot air balloon enthusiasts and their customers, and even the FAA, after that agency said the area was uncongested, requiring only a 500-foot minimum altitude. According to the Desert Sun, of the original 15 defendants, only two remain. The rest have settled, been hit with judgments, or gone out of business. The paper reports the dispute has grounded much of the balloon activity in the area. JCM is not a first-time litigant. The company has also reportedly sued the contractors it hired to build a fortress-like building in the center of an olive grove on its own property, conspicuous for its 24-foot-high, 4-foot-thick walls. The paper reports another suit targeted neighbors whose barking dogs were said to make too much noise. The lawsuits are obviously no joke for the defendants, but they're not without their comedic value for hypocrisy watchers. JCM has also applied with the county for a permit to build its own helipad on the property and operate several helicopter flights per day. That is, if they can just escape all the noise from those overhead gas burners. Chinese officials are apparently considering easing restrictions on private helicopter flights. The government said Friday it would begin to allow helicopters in low-altitude airspace over Hainan, an island catering to tourists. The test flights will be conducted by Zhenyang Investment Group and are intended to gather information about low-altitude flight as well as emergency response. The airspace is regulated by the Chinese Air Force as well as the Civil Aviation Administration, according to the Chinese online news site Xinhuanet.com, which offers an English version. Private aircraft flights in China require government approval, which can take as long as a week to obtain. But China is now reportedly looking to promote GA, along with the purchase and operation of private aircraft. And finally, numerous reports over the weekend indicated that both Russia and China claim to be working on autonomous spacecraft, similar to the unmanned X-37B launched and recovered by the U.S. Air Force last year. The Canadian press reports Russia's space minister, Oleg Ostapenko, has been quoted by Russian news agencies about a spacecraft similar to the X-37B in development, but that the work is preliminary. China, on the other hand, claims to have launched a version of its space plane. It's hard to know how much of this to believe, especially after China's state-run Central Television recently aired cockpit video it claimed was the Chinese J-10 fighter intercepting and shooting down another aircraft. Much egg on face ensued when movie buffs worldwide recognized the footage from the 1986 Tom Cruise movie Top Gun. Laugh if you will, but at least we should be comforted to know that Chinese state-of-the-art is still chasing the F-14. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Jeremy Monette of Sonics Aircraft talks about some really interesting projects emerging from the hornet's nest. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.